We are once again going to do something a little different this morning. Going to be in Romans. I was actually going to do this last week, and then the Lord put on my heart something completely different. So, but this morning, we're going to be in Romans. I think this is very appropriate. We're in the middle of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel can become pretty hard. To hear parts of Ezekiel anyway. It's the part we're in right now. We need to hear it, but we also need to remember that as followers of Yeshua, as those that have trusted in the work of Yeshua, we are not under God's judgment. We are under his discipline, but not his judgment. When you think about it from that standpoint, we are not under his wrath is what I mean. We're all under God's judgment, but we are not under his wrath. Okay, when we were without Yeshua, when we were without his righteousness, by our very nature, we were under God's wrath. But sometimes I think we forget that we're not under his wrath anymore. And we hear things like you hear in Ezekiel, and you begin to apply them maybe in a way that they shouldn't be applied today. We need to remember what God was dealing with a whole nation. That was the things that he deals with in Ezekiel is not individual as much as it's national. And he was dealing with the behavior of the whole nation. Now, as you know, being part of a nation, okay, we are citizens. I think everybody here pretty much is a citizen of the United States. We don't always agree with the government. We don't always agree with everything that's going on in the nation. We don't agree with, you know, maybe the protesters that are out there. But what happens to our nation, and we do believe from the Word of God, God judges people individually, but he also judges collectively. He judges the whole nation. I do believe that the church, the body of Messiah, the congregation of Yeshua, whatever you want to call it, is under God's judgment. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean under his wrath. I don't mean like he's currently, you know, getting ready. I just mean we're under his judgment, as in we are to be judged by him. He is our judge. And collectively, he judges us, and individually, he judges us. But because of our faith and trust in Yeshua, we're not under his wrath. There's a difference. Okay? Like, wrath means I'm going to take you out. I don't, you know, my kids are under my correction, they're under my discipline, but they're not under my wrath. I'm not going to destroy them. I love them. Israel as well was under God's discipline, but he wasn't going to fully destroy them. There would be individuals that would be destroyed. But today, as we look at this passage in Romans, Paul is reminding us of where we should be focusing as believers. Okay, because I don't know about you, but I don't have a hard time believing that I deserve judgment, at least most days. Maybe there's days that I forget about that and I think I'm pretty good. But most days, I don't have a hard time recognizing and understanding that I should be under God's wrath even, you know, because of my sin. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, people try to justify their sin, but if we're honest with ourselves, we know we're sinners. We know we do things that are wrong. We think things that are wrong. And if you don't think you're a sinner, that's your problem right there. That is your problem. Thinking everybody else is a sinner and you're not. That is the problem. Because we're all sinners. We have all sinned, it says in Scripture, and fallen short of the glory of God. And I was talking with somebody just the other day about levels of sin, what sin is worse than the other, you know, all those things. Sin is sin. Any sin separates us from God. Any breaking of the commandment, in Scripture, actually, I believe it was Peter that said, maybe it was John, that said, if you've broken the commandment in one place, you're guilty of all. You're guilty of the whole of breaking the whole commandment. You know, if you've broken it one thing, you're guilty of breaking all of it. So sin separates us from God. From God's perspective, he doesn't gauge our sin by the level, you know, how bad that sin was as opposed to the other. Now, some sin has more consequences, more visible consequences, more consequences in relationship than other sin. You know, and if we commit those sins, they affect other people as well. But sin separates us from God. Well, we have a tendency to either try to justify our sin or condemn ourselves so much that we don't hear, we don't listen, that God has forgiven us by the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to talk about, from Paul's perspective here, what it means and when it says there is no condemnation. He says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, depending on what translation you have, that last part might have gotten left out, but the point is still there. The King James Version and the New King James follows a particular Greek manuscript that includes this part that says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is the implication there that Paul is trying to get across. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah who do not walk according to the flesh. Now, I used to not fully grasp what this verse was saying. Because I would look at that and go, okay, well, if I'm a believer, then I shouldn't have condemnation anymore. But that's not what this says. It's not what it says. There's two aspects of condemnation. There's the condemnation that we have because of our sin that comes from God, and there's the condemnation that we have because of our own guilt and our own fear and those types of things. Two different types of condemnation. Condemnation, the condemnation that comes from God, Paul says there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. So let's break this down. There is no condemnation. That word condemnation means an adverse sentence, the verdict of being condemned. So what Paul is actually saying here, it's not a matter of how we feel, is it? He's saying there's no condemnation. The adverse sentence that we would have had because of our sin has been taken away if we are in Messiah Yeshua. We have to understand this. This takes it outside of how we feel. This has nothing to do with whether I feel condemned or don't feel condemned. What this has to do with is a fact that if you are in Messiah Yeshua, you are no longer condemned before God. If we are in Messiah, if we have placed, what does that mean to be in Messiah? If we have placed our trust fully in the work of Yeshua, his sacrificial death for us, we are no longer under condemnation. Put yourself in a courtroom. You have done something clearly wrong. You're standing before the judge. The judge and the jury have already passed sentence. You are condemned. There is no doubt that you have done this. The jury has decided you've done it. You stand condemned. But someone comes in the door and says, I have taken that punishment. I have taken that upon myself. I have taken that condemnation upon myself. I will pay for that. And you get by the judge. The judge says to you, you are free to go. Not only is this not, this is no longer on your record, this will no longer be held against you, and you do not have to pay any penalty, you do not have to spend any time in jail, nothing. You are free to go. That's what this means. We have no condemnation any longer. That Yeshua took that adverse sentence upon himself. He took all of the penalty for it. He took every aspect of our sin upon himself. He's paid for it already for us. Now, at that point, that person has a choice, potentially. And I would say probably a better way to put this is the judge says, There is somebody here willing to pay for all of your penalty. There is somebody here that has already paid for it, actually, and if you accept their paying for your penalty, you can walk free. And we have a choice at that point. That person has a choice. No, 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 I'll pay for it. No, 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 I'll take it upon myself. How silly would that be? Paul is saying here, if you're in Christ, if you have trusted in Messiah, in Christ and Messiah are the same word, by the way. I know we're like in the Messianic Jewish congregation, we're like, Christ! I know. But it's the same word as Messiah. It's Christos in the Greek. Okay? In the Hebrew, Mashiach. Same word. But if you are in Messiah, you are free from the condemnation. That's what Paul is saying. Now, if we look at this, Philippians 3, 7 through 14 says it this way, talking about those being in Messiah Yeshua. Let's look at Philippians 3. It says, Philippians 3, starting at verse 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, this is Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, talking here, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah, Yeshua, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Messiah and be found in him. Notice what he's saying. Be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has also laid hold of me. He's saying here that I may lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has also laid hold of me, grabbed a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. This was Paul's mindset. He realized he was in Messiah. And knowing that being in Messiah, he no longer had condemnation upon him. He didn't have to worry about his past. He didn't have to constantly be in fear that God had not forgiven him for everything. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had not only forgiven him, but cleansed him and given him the righteousness of Yeshua so he could press on. And he says, I'm going to lay hold of that for which Messiah has laid hold of me. And I'm going to press on. See, part of the problem today for many believers is we forget. We forget that Yeshua has paid for, has taken care of everything in the past. All of our sin, all of our failure, Yeshua has paid for it. And we are free to press on. We don't have to stay there anymore. But there's many times that the enemy uses our past against us and we forget that. And instead we go back to those things of the past and we get caught in a cycle. And we refuse many times to get out of that cycle. Because we're comfortable there. We like it there. We're used to it. We like beating ourselves up a little bit enough so we feel better about ourselves. You know, that's kind of a Catholic thing. Not to rag on the Catholics. It's kind of a Jewish thing too, though. It's a Catholic-Jewish thing. We kind of beat up on ourselves. Jews, we do it a little different. We include other people with us. Make them feel guilty along with us. Remind them of their problems and their sin and all of those things. I'm not saying that There's times we don't need to look at that. There are times we do. But we need to leave that at that execution stake at the cross. We need to leave it there and say, now I can press on. Because I have the righteousness of Yeshua. It's been applied to me. And Paul understood this. And that's why he's saying there is now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. And the implication there is who walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now let me talk about that part. The first part of it, he's stating as a fact. That has nothing to do with your feelings. Whether I feel condemned or don't feel condemned, if I am in Messiah, I'm not condemned according to the Word of God. Has nothing to do with how I feel. That second part does have to do with how I feel. Let me explain myself. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now remember, he's talking to believers here. It is possible for believers to most of the time walk in the flesh. That's unfortunate, but we do it. It's possible to do that. It's possible to trust and believe to have the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of Messiah, and decide, I'm not going to walk in that righteousness. I'm going to still walk in the flesh. That's why Paul says every single day I have to die. Every single day I have to die to that old nature and walk in the Spirit. And what he's saying in that second part is if we are walking in the Spirit, we won't feel condemned anymore either. Not only will we not be condemned because of the work he's already done, but if we're walking in the Spirit, we'll know we're not condemned. Does that make sense? If we're walking in the Spirit, we'll know we're not condemned. The times when I feel condemned, it's because I've made a choice not to trust in the work of Yeshua. I've made a choice to walk in my own flesh. I've made a choice to sin. And then I feel condemnation. But that's not coming from the Lord. That's coming from me deciding not to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, you're not. Have you ever had the experience where it doesn't matter how many times you tell somebody you love them, they still don't believe it? You would tell them over and over again, you know what? I love you. Oh, I don't. How could you love somebody like me? I'm just the worst possible person in the world. No, I love you. I care about you. No, you couldn't love me. If you knew everything about me, you wouldn't love me anymore. And on and on and on. And it's a type of person that wants to hear you keep saying it because they don't believe it. And they don't love themselves. And so they can't understand how anyone could love them. And you know what? A lot of us are like that when it comes to the Lord. And no matter what he does, no matter what he demonstrates, no matter what blessing he pours on us, we're still going there, you don't really love me. Because we're walking in the flesh and we feel condemned. And we blame him for it. If you're in Messiah, he's not condemning you anymore. I might still be condemning myself. Maybe every now and then other people might be condemning me too. But 9 times out of 10, it's my own condemnation. In fact, I also know people that walk into a congregation, I've done this before too, and somebody looks at you weird and you automatically think they're condemning you. They don't even know anything about you or what you did last night. But somehow they're condemning you. You know what that is? That's your own. That's our own condemnation. It's not that person usually. They just looked weird. I used to have a boss that I knew. Whenever I wanted a fun day, you know, I was bored. I was like 20-something, you know. I wasn't being good. This is not the right thing to do. But I knew I could walk in and make a weird face at her and that would set her off the whole day. She would just be, and I knew, I could count my watch, I could set my watch. Within 20, 30 minutes, she'd pull me in the back room and she'd say, is there a problem? Are you upset with me about something? Or is there a cut? And I would just laugh and I said, no, I just gave you a weird face. She never got it. Every single time I could count, you know, I drove her crazy. No wonder she didn't like men. Anyways, I picked on her all the time. So it wasn't right. I have to ask forgiveness for that. If I ever meet her, I will. But the point is, there was that sensitivity, so sensitive about other people and what they think of us. And you know, sometimes we're that way. And we, in our mind, we build these huge issues. There's times that people come into my office and they're so worried about if I'm upset with them about something or not. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you looked at me a lot during the message. I'm sorry, and I have to tell people, you know what? You're a safe face. I'm looking at you because you're a safe face to look at. Obviously, you're not a safe face anymore. I'll stop looking at you. I won't look at anybody because I don't want to offend anybody. No, you know, let me tell you that. If I look at you in a message, I'm not trying to make a point. Just looking around. But see, that's the thing, is that we hear that, and what we're listening to is we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the voice of the enemy. We're listening to the voice of our own condemnation, and many times we start, you know. Now, if you need to repent of something, repent of it. Confess it to the Lord. It says clearly in Scripture, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It does not say if you wait 5 days, if you have really good devotions, if you make sure you don't do any more anything else wrong, and you do this hoop and this hoop and this hoop, and then you confess your sins, He was faithful and just. He doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't give a time frame. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That also does not mean, oh, I'm going to go sin, but I know I can confess it right afterwards. And then I'm going to go do it again. And then I'm going to go confess it again. Then I go, you know what? I used to sin at the beginning of the week. So by the end of the week, I felt good enough to come back into a congregation. How many of you have done that? Anybody honest enough? Nobody's honest enough to say that. Okay, nobody's weird enough. I'm the weird one. I would sin at the beginning of the week. I mean, it wasn't necessarily always intentional, but I was like, I have to have some days to get prepared because, you know, what? Do I? I have to have several days to make myself more righteous? I can't make myself more righteous. You can't make yourself more righteous. We're either righteous or we're not righteous. If you're in Messiah, you're righteous already. And Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit. Stop walking in that flesh. Stop continuing to sin. You won't feel condemned anymore. The reason we feel condemned is if we're still sinning, we're going to keep feeling condemned. But if we're in Messiah, He's already made us righteous. He's already paid for that sin. So the way, as a believer, the secret to a life full of peace and joy and power and love is to walk in the Spirit, to be holy, to be obedient. Then we will experience those good things, no matter what's happening that day. If you're in Messiah, you can be at peace and you can have His joy. You know, last Friday and last Thursday, I watched a man go to be with the Lord at peace and full of joy. At no point did I see him get fearful, worried, angry, any of those things. It was just at peace, absolutely trusted in the Lord. And because of that, instead of focusing on his own condition, he focused on everybody around him, prayed for everybody that came to him. Thursday night, everybody who walked through that door got prayed for and encouraged, and he talked to them, and he loved them. That's what the Lord wants for each one of us. That's how we need to live our life, with that kind of peace, with that kind of joy. John is just a man. But he's a man that surrendered and surrendered and surrendered. Some of it, yes, was the stuff he had to go through, but he kept surrendering. And so what we saw before he went to be with the Lord is we saw Yeshua. That's what the Lord wants for us. You and I can start that today. We don't have to wait. We don't have to go through any hoops. We can just start being like Yeshua. We can stop walking in our own condemnation. You know, walking in condemnation is kind of like being a pig and going back to that mud over and over and over again. No matter how many times we're washed, we go back to it. Oh, poor me. We go from victim to I'm perpetrator. Back and forth all the time. Either poor me or I'm the worst person in the world. I've done so much. God can never forgive me. Instead of what the Lord wants us to be, and that's Yeshua. Walking in his power, walking in his love, walking in his shalom, his peace. Letting him more and more live through us. Acknowledging when we see some of the flesh pop up, we die to it. We don't let it stay around. We get rid of it. And the flesh pops up in really weird places, doesn't it? Ever had one of those weird ball things? I'm sure if you have kids, you have. Where you squeeze it and it pops out over here. You squeeze it over here and it pops out. Pops up through your fingers. You know? It's kind of the way our flesh is sometimes. Just can't seem to get it completely down. Well, we can't in our own strength. That's why we stop trying to do that and we start walking in the Spirit. And you know what happens to our flesh when we're walking in the Spirit? It becomes irrelevant. It loses its power. It loses its control. It loses all of that. That's what also happened to death when Yeshua paid for our sin. Remember, he broke the power of sin and death. He made them irrelevant. You know what? Satan, Satan, our great enemy, has been made irrelevant, and he hates it. And that's why he's always over there going, because he's irrelevant. But he tries to tell everybody how relevant he is. You ever had that happen? Somebody who, you know, tries to promote themselves all the time and try to say how great they are because they're not feeling very great. They're irrelevant. And that's the way it is with Satan. That's the way it is with sin. But we, unfortunately, as believers, give it relevance. We keep giving it relevance all the time. I keep giving my past sin, relevance when I allow myself to be under that condemnation. When I stop walking in the Spirit, it becomes relevant in my life again. Because I'm giving it authority. I'm giving it power. I'm giving the enemy authority when I choose to disobey God. Look at this next passage, or this next scripture. Paul says in Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death." It's exactly what we were just talking about. The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's look at this passage, break this down a little bit. The law of the Spirit of life. Law in this context is not talking about the Torah. It's a principle like gravity. Okay? There's a law that when I jump, which I can't jump very far right now, my knees are hurting me. But if I jump, there's a law that brings me back down to this earth. It's called the law of gravity. I am more susceptible to the law of gravity than some of you are due to my mass. My mass causes me to fall down a little quicker. I know it's only 120 miles per hour once you're from a certain stuff. You don't go faster than that. Okay, fine. But you still, I'm going to get there a lot faster maybe than some of you. Okay? There's a law that holds us to this earth. It's a principle. Principle, yeah, okay. The law of gravity. But in this case, it's a law of sin and death. See, when man fell, when Adam chose to disobey God, Eve went along, or Adam went along with Eve, however you want to look at it. They both sinned. By the way, they're one flesh, so it doesn't matter. They sinned. When they sinned, the law of sin and death got introduced. Just like a law of gravity. It meant that from then on, they had a sin nature. That their heart and their mind would constantly be pulled towards sin. Just like when I jump, my body's pulled to the ground. Don't you love the way the Lord sets these things up? He gives us in nature, in physics, in the world, in the universe, all of these cues. Now, one of these days, what does it say? The dead in Messiah shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. Guess what law or principle is going to be irrelevant? Gravity. That's right. Just like here, Paul is saying, Messiah, Yeshua, has made the law of sin and death irrelevant. He's taken away their power, and I'm now free. You are now free. But when you're free, you have to choose to walk in that freedom. If you had the ability tomorrow to fly, like all of a sudden you had the power to fly. We watch these sci-fi shows, you know, these people, something happens, lightning strikes them, or you know, they're next to some nuclear plant, and they suddenly have this power that they didn't have before. They have the inability. The newer ones, they take you through the process of people recognizing their ability. You know, they're walking along and they think that everything's still normal, and then all of a sudden they hear things more than they should be hearing, and oh, you know, like Spider-Man, you know, what's going on? You know, and then suddenly, you know, he realizes he has extra strength and extra hearing and all, you know, he's a superhero, but he didn't know it. There was one recently where they had the power, but they were afraid to jump off the building. They had to be pushed. To act in that power, they had to be pushed. And once they got pushed, then they had to activate the power before they hit the ground. They were forced into it. You know, I think sometimes the Lord does that with us. Not because he hates us and wants us to go through horrible things. Because he loves us. Because he wants us to walk in the authority and the power we have been given. The power that he's given us, his power, not ours, over sin and death. We're not bound by them anymore. But we're still scared to death like the law of gravity. Now, none of you go jump off a building, please. The law of physical gravity is still binding you. However, what about jumping out in faith and trusting the Lord? We need to do that. We need to trust him. But we're so afraid of that law of sin and death. And it holds us back. And the Lord's going, jump! Trust me! I've already taken care of that. You're not going to hit the ground. You're going to soar on wings like eagles. You're going to walk and not be weary. You're going to run and not faint. But you have to trust me. You have to walk in my spirit. And you know, the Lord brings stuff into our life over and over and over again, just like he did with the children of Israel. They had problems going through the desert, didn't they? And every time it was like, oh, poor, we wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, it was either we're the victim or it was we're so horrible. Remember at Mount Sinai? Moses, please, you go talk to God and you come talk to us because we can't handle that glory. You know what the Lord is saying to you and me today? Bask in my glory. You have been made righteous.
No, our flesh can't handle His glory, but the Spirit can. The Spirit is hungering for it. The Spirit, our spirit has been made righteous. Our spirit will die and wither up without the glory of the Lord, without the Spirit of the Lord being poured into us. But so many times, here we are, we're like, no, I can't do that. No, I can't, no, I can't trust God there. And we come under that condemnation. No, my sin is too great for the blood of Yeshua. You people don't understand how really bad I am. That's how we act sometimes. There is no sin too great for the blood of Yeshua. There is no power that can hold us back. The law of sin and death has been made irrelevant by the work of Yeshua. We're not under that condemnation anymore. We're not under that guilt anymore. So why don't we stop walking in that and start walking in the Spirit? Why don't we do that? It's a choice that we have to make every day. It's not a one-time thing.
Well, I've chosen now to walk in the Spirit, so from now on, everything's going to be great. You know, the moment that we choose to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to serve you, you know what He says? He who wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. But Lord, I'm following you. Everything should be good. No, in this world you will have tribulation. In this world, it doesn't say in the world to come. In this world, you will have tribulation. But what does he go on to say? But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Let's say that another way. Be of good courage. I have made the sufferings and things in this world irrelevant. I've made it irrelevant. The power and control of sin has been made irrelevant. I've overcome it. It doesn't have control over you anymore. And now our suffering becomes relevant in a whole new way because we enter into the fellowship of His sufferings and we start to understand that everything we go through, even like John went through 39 years of a weird, strange cancer that most people never have to go through, but everything we go through becomes part of the fellowship of His sufferings, which means we can be joyful in it. We're being included in Him. To be in Messiah means not only that you have just the good part, you also enter into His sufferings. But you enter in with peace, with joy. It becomes something that is worth it. And you're not looking at your flesh anymore and how your flesh is suffering, because that has to die. And sometimes the only way for us to really trust the Lord is the Lord gives us opportunities to really trust Him. Because if it was up to me, I would sit in my chair all day long and stay away from all the problems. You know, you can be a very good, I can't even be a very good believer in my chair. But, you know, maybe I could avoid most problems. Maybe I can avoid most sufferings. But you know what the Lord does? He goes, no, come over here. Let's stand right here. You see how far down that is? Yeah. I want you to jump, and I'll catch you. Oh, no, Lord, I could never do that. You need to jump. I'll catch you. You know what? Hey, what's that over there? And He catches us. Catches us. Then He's like, what happened? Well, you caught me. Thanks, Lord. But don't ever let me do that again. I've learned that lesson now. I've learned trust. I don't have to go through it again. Oh, no. Lord's like, we're just beginning. We're just starting with this trust thing. Look at the lives of the saints and the prophets. We're just starting with this trust thing. And we're supposed to look at that, right? Remember the trust chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and it goes through the fathers of the faith and all of the things they've gone through, and yet they trusted God, and yet they trusted God, and yet they trusted God, and they kept having to trust Him. Yeah. It's just the beginning. The Lord nudges us, He catches us. He nudges us, He catches us. Pretty soon we're like, woo! Because we know He's going to catch us. That's where He wants us to get. That's what happened to Rav Shaul. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He knew God was going to catch him. Look at the stuff he went through. Absolutely knowing that God was going to catch him. 3 shipwrecks, 2 times left for dead, stoned, all this stuff that happened to him. And he trusted God through it all. And by the end of it, he was like, woo, here we go. Here we go. He began to enjoy the suffering because he knew that it was going to accomplish God's will. He began to enjoy the journey. The Lord wants you and me to enjoy the journey. And yeah, there's going to be times that we're going to be like, Lord, really? You want me to go there? You want me to go through that? You've always been faithful in the past. How are you going to know that God's always been faithful in the past if you've never trusted Him in the past? How are you going to know? To know He's faithful, we have to trust Him. We have to start now with the little things. You know what Paul calls everything he went through? Little things. Light and momentary afflictions. That's what he says. Read it sometimes, the things Paul went through. And he's like, those were light and momentary afflictions. Because starting out, maybe it seemed like a really big thing, but as he went along, as he kept trusting the Lord, these really big issues started to look littler and littler because he knew how big his God was. He knew how big and how powerful that he could fully trust. And so things that to us would look like insurmountable mountains look like little things to him. You know, 39 years of cancer, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine going through that. But you know how I felt in talking with John when we would talk? That he looked at it as a little thing. A light and momentary affliction. Because he trusted God. That's what the Lord wants us to get to. That kind of trust. That kind that where we say, Lord, you know what? You created the heavens and the earth. I know you could take care of this. You may not take care of it the way I'm expecting you to or the way I want you to, but however you take care of it, I'm going to trust you. Because you have a good plan. I don't understand it right now, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be obedient to you, no matter what. That was Paul's attitude. Think about some of the things he went through. Dragged outside, stoned, beaten, thrown in prison, darkest dungeon, couldn't even see any light. God has a plan. Silas, God has a plan. I know He does, Paul. No, God has a plan. Let's start worshiping. Okay. Middle of the dungeon, darkest part, can't see any light, middle of the night, they're worshiping. The prisoners are going, shut up! We're trying to sleep! They keep worshiping. Suddenly the jail starts to shake. Paul's like, I knew God had a plan here. Chains fall off. Of everybody, not just Paul and Silas, all the prisoners get free. Jailer comes running in, realizes he's getting ready to lose his job because all his prisoners are going to go crazy. Pulls his sword out, gets ready to kill himself, and Paul says, stop! We're all still here. We're all still, even the other guys are still here because they're scared to death. They might be free, but they just heard what happened. They knew what happened. They're giving glory to God. See what I mean? Even those unbelieving
prisoners that were in there were giving glory to God as well because they had just seen what happened. And Paul goes and says to the jailer, it's okay. You're not going to lose your job. We're all still here. But I got something to tell you. The jailer, his whole family become believers. Turns everything around in that town of Philippi. The Philippians that we just read from. And that congregation is established. Isn't that awesome when you think about it from that perspective? God always has a plan. Whatever we're going through, He has a plan.
Law in this context is a principle like gravity. The law of life in Messiah Yeshua counteracts and makes null, irrelevant, the law of sin and death. These are not principles of equal power. One totally destroys and removes and makes null the other. Sin cannot make irrelevant the power of the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? The Spirit of life, the blood of Yeshua, makes null the power of sin. The only way sin has control or authority over our life is if we give it authority and control. Paul says, you have no condemnation any longer. You're free from condemnation. You've been set free. You don't have to walk in that sin anymore. You can walk in that freedom that you have in Messiah. So just like darkness cannot push back the light, sin and death have no power against the law of life in Messiah. Notice darkness has no authority in this room as long as we have the light on. Can't push back the light. But light, every single time, pushes back the darkness. Every single time. Because what is darkness? It's nothing. It's the absence of light. That's what it is. But every time we turn on the light, and it's the same thing in your life and mine. If we're walking in the Spirit, the darkness has no authority. It gets pushed out. It can't help but get pushed out. Guess what that means? If you're walking in, if you're depressed, if you're walking in depression, and you decide to walk in the Spirit, joy will push depression out. That's just what's going to happen. There's no control. Depression has no control over that. It's going to get pushed out. If you're walking in some type of addiction, some type of sin, and you start walking in the Spirit, you confess it, that sin's going to get pushed out. It may take a while, but it will be pushed out as you continue to surrender and walk in the Spirit. You can't sin and be walking in the Spirit. Anytime we sin, we're walking in the flesh. That's one good way to know, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? If I'm sinning, I'm walking in the flesh. The Spirit doesn't sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't sin. So if I'm sinning, I'm in the flesh. That doesn't mean I've lost my salvation. I'm righteous before God by the blood of Yeshua. But if I'm sinning, I'm not walking in the Spirit. So the change, what has to happen is I confess that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me, and I start walking in the Spirit. And now that sin gets pushed out. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 through 6 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's just very simple. If you're reading the Torah, reading the Ten Commandments, what happens? Sin uses the Torah. The Torah is a good thing, but sin uses that to condemn us. We read it and we go, oh my goodness, I lied. I cheated on my wife by the thoughts that I had. Oh man, I was hateful towards somebody. It's like I murdered them. That's what Yeshua says. If you have hate towards somebody without a cause and you keep hating them, it's almost like you murdered them. Oh. And we start to feel that guilt and that condemnation.
The law, the letter, brings death. But the Spirit, that law of life in Messiah, brings life, because we understand that, yes, I did do that, and I'm confessing it to the Lord, and now I have His life, I have His righteousness. That sin has been paid for. He's not holding it against me anymore. So now I have life, and I have peace, and I have joy, and it's the only way to have that for us as believers. For anybody, it's the only way. It's to have that life, to let the law of life in Messiah Yeshua make irrelevant the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Yeshua condemned the very thing that was condemning us. He condemned sin. He passed a sentence on sin itself in His flesh. By giving His life, He condemned sin in the flesh. Law in this context, we already looked at that. There we go. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, God did. John 3:16. We know this by heart, many people. First of all, let me use these two words. There's two Greek words. For what the law could not do, it was weak. That word weak in the Greek is estheneo, to be feeble, impotent, not able to basically do anything, weak, through the flesh. Well, God, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin. And that word is katrino, to judge against, to pass a sentence, to condemn. So let's look at this passage that I'm going to read it. I know you've heard it many, many times, but let's listen to what John is saying in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes or trusts in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who trusts in the work of Yeshua on the cross, trusts in His sacrifice for sin, is not condemned, no longer under condemnation, like Paul says in Romans 8:1. But he who does not believe is condemned already, even before he doesn't believe, he's still already condemned. We're already condemned. We come to this whole thing condemned. We're under the law of sin and death, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So we see here from the very beginning, it's saying that condemnation isn't coming from God. Condemnation comes when we choose to not trust and believe in the work of Yeshua. So basically, when the light came, men ran off and hid in the darkness instead of being exposed to the light. And isn't that what we do so many times with our sin? We do it in darkness. We run off and hide in the darkness instead of letting the light. The moment the light of Yeshua exposes our sin and we confess it, it's gone. And suddenly you don't have that condemnation anymore. You have joy. And you have peace. It's very, very simple. And that's probably part of the problem. We want something complicated because we're such complicated people. Can't be that simple. Yes, it is. It's as simple as confessing it, trusting in the work of Yeshua,
and walking in that, walking in the Spirit. That means walking in humility before the Lord. Some of you have, and I do too, some things that maybe God has put on your heart to do. You have agendas. You have maybe God has put something on your heart to accomplish and you really want to do it for the Lord. And it's good to want to do something for the Lord, to want to be used. I would have to say that over and over again, it's been my agendas that I've had to surrender to the Lord. Even His agendas that I think are from Him that I've had to surrender to the Lord. And say, Lord, I want Your will to be done. I believe You will accomplish this, but You're going to accomplish it in Your timing and in Your way. Our responsibility is not to accomplish what God wants to do in our life. That is not our responsibility. Sometimes we think that's our responsibility. Hear what I'm saying. Our responsibility is not to accomplish what God wants to do in our life. It's to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit and let Him accomplish what He wants to do in our life. His timing. And sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to do good things for the Lord that we forget that the only way you and I can accomplish anything good for the Lord is to walk in the Spirit. You can't do it in your flesh. It won't be accomplished in our flesh. It can only be done by the Spirit. You know, I had to give up. There's a place that we felt God calling us to. I've had to give that to the Lord. We both, Heather and I, have had to give that to the Lord. And when we finally kind of have given it to the Lord, we were content. The Lord said, okay, now it's time. Now it's time. Guess what? And it was so easy. It was so easy when God did it. It's so difficult when we try to make it happen, isn't it? So let's stop trying to make good things happen and let's start letting the Lord do those good works in and through us, good works that He's prepared already for us. It never happens like we think it's going to happen. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Sam. I had a vision and it's going to... It never happens like we think it's going to happen. And when you get a vision, you're only getting one part. You're not getting the whole context. It's like taking one verse and like running off with it, thinking that's, you know, and not seeing the context. The Lord gives us glimpses, and those are good things. We need to hold on to them, but let Him do it. Let Him do that. Our job, what He's called us to do, is to be surrendered to Him and to walk in His Spirit. With His righteousness, trusting fully in His righteousness. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning, and I ask that we will remember that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Lord, that it has become irrelevant in our life as we walk in the Spirit. The only relevance it still has is the relevance we give it when we choose to walk in our flesh, when we choose to sin, when we choose to be disobedient, or when we choose to disobey and not do what You call us to do. Then we give the enemy and we give our past, we give our sin nature relevance. But Lord, if we allow Your light in and we walk in the Spirit and we, anytime we see that we have done something wrong, we confess it to You and we continue to walk in Your Spirit, then Lord, we can then begin to accomplish Your will. We can then begin to accomplish those good things that You have prepared beforehand for us to do. And we walk in the relevance of Your Spirit. Our suffering takes on a whole new meaning. And Lord, we also get to enjoy those blessings. We get to enjoy the blessings that sometimes You're blessing us now, but we don't enjoy it because we're walking in the flesh. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we can actually enjoy the blessings. So, Father, I pray for each one of us today that we will choose to walk in the Spirit, just as we talked last week about loving. Lord, the only way we can truly love is by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us, forgive us, wash us this morning, and help us to hear what you wanted to say through the message, Lord. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisah Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.